Around 750 million people live on the European continent. So what about it? What will its future look like? Will there ever be a United States of Europe? For this and more, you will hear from European thought leaders, artists, civil society representatives, and all those who care about its future. You will receive key insights into the ways Europe is changing and how your voice can be part of this. I am Paolo De Stilo, and you're listening to Europe Matters. Today I'm joined by Anas Hanafi Dali. Is a member of the Global Shapers community of the World Economic Forum and is a fellow at the German Marshall Fund of the United States, for which he leads different projects. He is based in Turin and he's currently specializing in space law. He's also a member of the Space Law and Policy Group of the Space Generation Advisory Council. Hi, Anas. Thank you for joining in.
Hi, Paolo. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here with you.
Yeah, we met last year in the magical world of Clubhouse, where we were hosting different events. And I remember you organized a very interesting event with Herb Baker, which was the procurement manager of NASA. First, how did you get in touch with him? But also, what brought you to get into the space law realm?
Well, we had an interesting conversation in Clubhouse, in another group where Herb Baker was involved. And then we tried to organize something for the Italian community with a translator. And I remember your translator very well because you participated in our Clubhouse group and you gave us a great support. So, well, we got in touch through Twitter and through Clubhouse using different social media to try to connect and to try also to bring and create bridges between the space society in general and the students and also general public that want to listen and to know more about space. So it was a great pleasure to organize with him this moment in Clubhouse, and we reached a lot of new members and new Italian people talking on this topic and talking about space economy and space law. For instance, I would love to say that space law, it's a very interesting topic, still having a lot of questions about it and doing a lot of research to know how the world of the space law and the law in general will change in the future. And I'm happy to be part of this project and this group that will help us try to understand more the space regulation and try to know what's best for the world and how to keep it peaceful somehow. So we have to start thinking about going beyond our countries and trying to think globally and acting locally, as we would say in a Global Shapers community. So I'm so happy to be part of all these projects on space law and to try to help also startups that are starting here in Europe to work in the space field and to try also to know more about what is the future regulation.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So you're specializing in space law. However, you told me before we started recording that there's no real specialization within law universities. So you're now completing your studying is at the University of Torino in northern Italy. When did your interest in space law start? Was it since you saw an astronaut going to the space? When was it? When did you start having this feeling towards the space?
Well, space has always been part of my life since I was a child, because I wanted to know more about stars and about planets. So I was always been in touch with science into my family, and we always discussed how the future of our species will be into different planets, maybe. So this started everything in my childhood. Then I became interested into the space field in my early 19, then, when I started the university, because I started thinking about how we can work a true regulation and how we can start to think about innovation law. So laws has always been strongly connected with society and has always been somehow late in trying to develop the new kind of regulation to help society keep in touch and also to work better for the future. So started thinking about what kind of laws we will have in the future when everything will be online, when you will work not in the office but from home, but you will also have different regulation about new different space exploration issues. So I started thinking about it, and starting from then, I tried to specialize into this, knowing that there are only some universities in the world that help on try to specialize in space law. And the idea was to try to help create different space sectors and space policy and law masters here also in Italy to try to help and to try to work into different space economy, space law sector. Well, this sector was always in the past just a governmental sector. Right now, we have a lot of privates that are stuck in working, and also a lot of startups working into this field. And they also need lawyers for that. They also need people that try to know how is it working into the space and how the regulation is working, how the regulation is changing, and who is doing what in space. And I think it's very important to start with this. And of course, it's not easy, because we have also to deal with different national space legislation, because we also have that. But it's also not a United Nations part, but it's also, I think, something that we can work together in Europe to try to reach it and to try to create a new space law legislation, a new space regulation that can help keeping space safe and also keeping space secure for everything and from everything, if I want to be more clear, helping us to reach a peaceful world where we can all live without having problems and without having issues like war. So we know in those moments war are very bad, and they're hitting into our society, the ideas that we have to go into war, and this is, I think, very bad. And space can help us keeping peace, but also can help us go into war. So we have to decide which kind of part we want to take on into this. And we also have to think on which side we want to see space, if in a peaceful way or in a conflict way.
Yeah, because we are recording this talk also in a very difficult moment with the whole Ukraine invasion from part of Russia. We hope that it ends as soon as possible. I want to give a little bit of space to this, because I think it's also important so that we also are aware of what's going on. These are very sad days, so I don't want to linger on. But last year, for example, Russia shot a couple of satellites. And it shot a couple of satellites on the 21st of November last year in 2021. And that brought into danger the ISS, the International Space Station. And what we know, and also what you're talking about, is space has always been a lot of collaboration, a lot of international collaboration. There is a lot of collaboration between NASA, between ESA, the European Space Agency. For the ones that don't know, Europe has its own space agency. So What does this kind of act or this kind of movements towards our very also delicate atmosphere do to our security, right? So what can we envision as like space wars in the future? Hopefully not. We don't want that.
Well, someone will think about Star Wars and about different movies that we've seen in the past and start thinking that maybe it could be fiction what we are envisioning right now. But what we see is that space is governed by some bodies. Like, I mean, space law, it's the body of law that regulates objects and activities beyond the Earth atmosphere. And this helped us also to try to find solution in case of conflicts that will happen or might happen into the atmosphere, into the Earth's atmosphere. So what I would envision right now is that we are facing some problems between different satellites. Sometimes the satellites are not state satellites, but are private satellites. And this is a question that we are having right now. And as we love to say in law, there is different kind of theories that will take place on. There's some theories that will say that the satellite of a certain private company would have been also property of the state where this company is based on. And there is also some other theories that would say that this satellite is just owned by the company. So I think it's very important also to try to understand which are the new ways that big companies or big tech companies can participate into the space sector, into the space field, but not only in this field, also in our society, and to try to understand what are the boundaries that we have. Because sometimes we can see that some states are less powerful than those big technologies groups. So we have to try to find a common ground between it. So also in space, we're having this issue and it is raised as an issue and we have to find a solution to that, because if not, we will enter in war. But we cannot see, for example, a private sector company entering war with a state. This will be a totally new thing for us. And this is not possible to govern inside the UN. So we have to start thinking about how is it the world composed right now and how is it working?
Which kind of laws are there actually regarding space? Which kind of conventions have we written as a global world to kind of decide? Because what you mentioned as well is like it's uncharted field. There's a lot to discover. There's a lot of work to be done. Now you see now with Musk going to space, sending all Starlinks, all those small satellites. Yeah, that's kind of a problem to actually control or at least monitor.
So we have 5 United Nations treaties on outer space. So I will start with the most important one signed in 1967. That is the Treaty of Outer Space. So, I mean, with this treaty, we are governing the activities of states in the exploration and use of outer space, including the moon and other celestial bodies. So, for example, this treaty was signed in 1967. So we have also to start thinking about how to change those treaties and how to let them be like renewed, trying to bring into the table also the space, the private space sector, because if not, we will having just the principles that are governing the activities of states into the exploration and use of outer space and not of the privates. So I think it's important to try to go also deeper into this and bring into the table also the private sector, trying to have a good regulation that might keep us safe and also secure on using outer space. So we have also the second treaty, that is the rescue agreement. So as maritime law, we have also an agreement on rescue of astronauts and the return of astronauts and the return of objects launched into the outer space. So this was signed in 1968, and it's an agreement that is very important into international security cooperation. Because, for example, you mentioned before the International Space Station and how we are dealing with Russia into our cooperation agreement that we have into the International Space Station. So, for example, this agreement is very important because we have to rescue astronauts. We will not ask them before anything their citizenship or their passport. So I think this is very important also for humankind to think broadly and think as a human species and not just as a member or part of certain states. So, and then we have also the third treaty, that is the Convention on International Liability for Damage Caused by Space Objects. Also, this one that was signed in 1972 is answering in some parts to the question that you mentioned before about Russia tearing down some satellites. So we can go back to this convention, but of course this convention doesn't mention private sector. So we have also to integrate it to try to, as I said before, bring the private sector into the space field and also keep them liable on any damage they could cause, and also on space debris, and also on space sustainability. We have to talk about this. We have also to raise this issue. And also we have the Registration Convention, that is the fourth one mentioned by the United Nations, that is a convention on registration of objects launched into the outer space. So this was signed and was entered in force in 1976. And this also helps to registrate all the objects that we launched into outer space, and also to try to regulate it a bit, not to let the space be the next garbage or the next collection of garbages that that might be in the future. And we are also keeping safe from this. And also, as last one but not least, we have the Moon Agreement. So the agreement on the moon is very important also because we have Artemis Accord that we signed with Russia. And this moon agreement entered in force in 1984 and is governing the activity of states on the moon and other celestial bodies. So I will repeat it. The governing activities of states on the moon and other celestial bodies. So it's very important to underline this part. It's just governing the activities of states and not the one of privates. So we have to keep in mind that now, in this new century, we have also private sector coming in into the space exploration. And not only into the space exploration, but also trying to bring the new space economy into this new work that we are doing. And this has to be, I think, regulated before we go into any catastrophe that might happen in the future. But I want to keep positive, and I think that the United Nations and also the states and also the private are doing as much as they can to try to help each other and to try to work toward the increase and toward the enhancement of the space forces, bringing them into an alliance that could be peaceful and not made for war.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This means that private entities like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos can install their own headquarters, we could say, on the moon and without any problem.
Well, somehow they could do that. See, they're still not doing it. They're still, but I think they could do it. I don't know if they would do it, but they could, certainly.
Yeah, because doesn't that mean that they will have a tax-free heaven? And it's like, it's not the seashells, it's not an island in it and on the world, it's actually the moon.
for what I know, I think that Elon Musk is more planning on doing that in Mars, so doing it into another planet. But I'm not sure about how is it going to be in the future, and it will be I think super interesting as a sector to follow and to try to understand if space will be the new headquarters of Facebook or of other companies. So who knows? And this will be, of course, interesting. But also, I think the future space stations will be interesting because we might have some other space stations made up by privates. So we will have the possibility to leave certain period into space, like the astronauts are doing right now. So it will be interesting. We'll see. Also, I read some news about this new hotel that will be built into the space. So into space, and will enter, I think, in function in 2030. So we have a lot of new innovation coming in, and we hope we'll see it, and we will hope that our generation can come peacefully, work towards sustainability, and also work into the space sector and space field, and also have the chance to live a part of our life, at least some days, into the space.
There's been a huge change, right? Since like 10, 15 years, also in the USA, NASA also opened up for the private sector to also go into space. And that's also what brought Elon Musk to really develop his rockets, which are innovative in the sense of they can land back. So at least the big body is not thrown away. And that's a lot of, think about just a cost-benefit analysis. You are reusing.
Now also for sustainability, it's good.
But the thing is, it still consumes so much. Every time that we go to space, we're consuming so much kerosene, we're consuming so much gas that it's not healthy for the environment. Is there other ways to go to space without consuming any fossil fuels?
Well, I think this is not specifically my field, so I will not enter into the details. But what I would say from the discussions I had with different engineers, I think that nuclear power could be used to be more green into space. So I think that we will experience the use of the nuclear power, meaning in a peaceful way, so not using it and not... No, it's not the nuclear bomb, just for the listeners, but using the nuclear power to help going into space with a more sustainable way and trying to also to keep an eye on the environment. But I would not say more because I think I cannot. But I think that space sustainability, it's a very important field, and it's super important also for future generation to have the chance to live in an equal world and also in a more environmental friendly world.
We also have some space gear that already uses nuclear power on Mars. If I'm not mistaken, one of the rovers has a nuclear powered battery, or at least functions. But still, nuclear energy creates waste, and that waste we will have to put somewhere. So there's a lot of theories. There's a whole books of science fiction, and we are just throwing barrels of nuclear waste towards the sun and things like that. But there is an increasing problem at the moment, which might not seem as a huge deal, but we are creating a big dump around our globe. So is there anything that we are doing legally to stop leaving all those dead satellites around the world?
Well, the idea is to collect the satellites that are not working anymore or that are maybe not used anymore and to tear them down. Just like try to put them into the outer space. But the point is, this is not as easy as it might seem right now, because some of those satellites are owned by private. So you cannot just go there and tear them down. And also we have to start thinking about satellites that were put in there by states that has changed so much into the last at least 30 years. The space race started. We had Kennedy in the United States, and we had the Soviet Union into the other part. Also, I want to mention that Italy was the third country that brought in a space satellite into the space. So the name is San Marco space. So Italy has a part of it. Europe has a part into the space, and it's a very important place, I think, into the future of space exploration. But what I mean is, we're trying as much as we can, thinking about regulation, staying into the space sustainability, and trying as much as we can to find a common ground with different other states that might not have had a seat when we discussed into the United Nations, when I was not born yet, the regulation of that we talked about before. So what I mean is, we have to rebuild a new regulation altogether, because if not, we will be like subjugated by this national space legislation, and all the states will try to create their national space legislation and bring them to the UN and discuss it for years and years and decades. So we have to be responsible, and I think our generation will be into the future, thinking about the future of space exploration in a manner that can help us keeping the world peacefully and keeping the world into the peace, what I mean, and keeping also the world sustainable and environmental friendly. So we will see with the satellites what we can do, but I think into the regulation that we're having right now, it's very hard, because right now, if you tear down a satellite, might mean that we are starting a new war. So we have to keep very, very, very sensitive into this this point. And we have also to try to use the space for peaceful ways and for peaceful meaning, and not for the war.
Thank you, Anas. These are very thoughtful and also hopeful words, which are needed in times like these. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your time. And yeah, perhaps we see each other in space in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Paolo. It was a very pleasure to be here with you and to be here with your community. I'm very available to discuss furthermore the questions that you might have, and also to see what's the future of space and maybe seeing each other in space.
Beware, we will hear from Anas in the future again. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Europe Matters. Special thanks goes to my assistant producer, Antonio Mattesini. Let us know who we should interview next by writing a comment and sharing it with your friends on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn using the handle @EuropeMatters. Don't forget to leave a review on whichever podcast streaming platform you use. And if you really like this show, the best way to support us is by making a donation on patreon.com. You can learn more at www.europematters.com. Speak to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.